Today's episode of the Oasis podcast is sponsored by Your Teams Prints. Check out at Your Teams Prints on Twitter and on Etsy.com. The link is in the description of the podcast. Your Teams Prints do amazing high quality A3 prints on music and football, especially some fantastic Oasis prints, like the most recent one, which has the supersonic lyrics. Believe me, that will look very cool on your wall. Any prints you buy, tell them you heard about them through the Oasis podcast and you will get a 20% refund. Plus, if you refer a mate who purchases a print, you can then get a second one half price. Plus, stay tuned until after the main interview to hear how you can win a print of your choice. Thank you very much to Your Teams Prints for sponsoring the podcast, and on with the show.
All right, it's Liam. I want to thank everyone at the Oasis podcast, as you were.
Hello and welcome back to the Oasis podcast, the ultimate audio guide to Oasis. Hope you guys are well. If you're in America, you may well be feeling pretty happy right now. And the rest of the world feeling pretty happy as well, because it sounds like there might be a vaccine on the way. But we will see. What I can guarantee you is a fantastic episode today. We've got Charlotte Mariano, or Charlotte from Le Volume Curb, who you will probably know as the Noel Gallagher High Flying Birds scissors player. So Charlotte caused a massive stir a couple of years ago when she debuted with the High Flying Birds. Everyone was like, is she playing the scissors? What is going on? So yeah, really, really excited to have Charlotte on. I've been hoping to have her on for a couple of years. And yeah, fantastic that we've got her on finally. It's a really interesting interview. Covers a lot of topics, including the controversial scissors stuff. So yeah, I really hope you enjoy that. The main bit of news is that Liam Gallagher is going back on the road. Well, I say the road, it's actually the river. The other day, Liam announced that there would be big news coming on Monday. And we're thinking, well, what is this? You know, what's going to be happening? We were assuming it was something related to the MTV Europe Music Awards, because that was happening over the weekend. And Liam was up for Best Rock Act, which he lost, by the way, lost to Coldplay. But then on Friday night, these little videos started appearing. And it seemed like Liam was going down the Thames on a boat with his band, playing tunes, and little videos started appearing all over the place. So, our good friend Maxi Gonzalez has collated them all and put them all on YouTube. So they're easy to get hold of rather than hunting around on Instagram for it. But let's have a little bit of that. So as you can hear there was tracks from his albums and also some Oasis stuff, including Hello. And Hello is one that he hasn't played solo, and he's mentioned that he was planning on playing it solo on Twitter. So definitely good to hear that. So anyway, so we watched this thing happening, him floating down the river and these little videos turning up in various places of just people, you know, who were by the river, like, what is happening? And then the announcement came on Monday that it was a full gig. It's going to be like a pay-per-view thing. You can get your tickets for it now. It's basically at £16.50, and for that it's going to be streamed on the 5th of December, so it's going to be as if it's live. So depending on wherever you are in the world, it will be streamed at like 8 p.m your time effectively. And then you can watch Liam. I mean, he mentioned on Twitter he did 16 songs. Whether or not they show 16 songs on the live show, I don't know. They had a little 30-second trailer for it, which was good. And it looks pretty epic. I mean, London at Night does look super cool. And Liam there with the band, with the hat on, with the big coat on. Yeah, I think it looks good. So I'm very much looking forward to that. There's been quite a lot of discussion and debate about the price, £16.50. Well, you know, a lot of bands have been doing kind of free sort of lockdown gigs, but a lot of it has just been quite small productions, you know, just local in their houses. Or, you know, I know DMAs like went to Brixton Academy and stuff, but that's not huge cost involved in that. I think this is like a big, proper, decent event, like going out on this river and going down the Thames and stuff. It does feel like quite a special thing. And so I think it's fair to charge a decent whack, and £16.50 isn't outrageous. It's what, 3 pints if you're in London or less than that. And what else are you going to be doing on December the 5th, you know? So, yeah, I think it's a fair amount. I know he was talking about doing a free NHS gig, and I think it would be great if he could, like, if they could in some way get a free link to NHS workers. But yeah, I don't know, I suppose that'd be quite tricky to how you would police that. But anyway, so I'm sure if you can't be bothered to pay for it, then you just don't watch it or wait, and it'll probably be appearing everywhere online within a day or so. So there you go. But yeah, very exciting, really looking forward to it. It doesn't sound like from the blurb that he's going to be playing any new songs. You know, we were hearing from him on Twitter that it sounds like there should be new stuff coming very soon. So it would be great to hear like a new single debuted that on that show, but I doubt it will be. But yeah, that was the only big news. I suppose the other thing's not massively exciting in my eyes, but yeah, they've released like a Why Me, Why Not super duper box set with all the vinyls and everything, which is like £140 or something. So yeah, as you know, if you know me, not into that sort of stuff, but for you collectors out there, I'm sure you're loving it. So there you go. All right, without any further ado, let's move on to me talking to Charlotte. Welcome to the podcast, Charlotte. How are you doing?
I'm good, thank you.
Wonderful.
Yeah. Bit sleepy.
Yes, but that's all right. I'm a bit sleepy as well, sitting up watching hours and hours of American election stuff. But yeah, have you followed that much at all, or do you try and avoid that?
A little bit. You know, I go online to check, but no, I didn't spend hours watching it on TV at all. No.
All right.
I mean, it's just taking so long. Yeah, I wonder when we're going to find out.
Yeah, it will be good to find out, but hopefully it seems like we're there, and it will be there by the time this podcast goes up anyway. So yeah. So that's cool. But yeah, and then it's a very interesting time for you, because I think you've got your first of three new EPs coming out in November 13th, I think. Yeah, how are you feeling about that?
Yes, I'm excited. I mean, it's a bit strange, I guess, to have a record coming out in lockdown, because nobody can really go to the shop and buy it. But
yeah,
I guess if people really want it, they can get it online. But I'm excited. I mean, it's always exciting to have a record out, especially that I don't really put that many record out, so it's always kind of a big event for me.
And this is going to be interesting, I suppose, because it's your first one that you've done since you've done this work with Noel Gallagher, and he features on the record as well.
Yeah, he features on one song, Mind Control. Recorded this cover of Daniel Johnston with Terry Hall and his son in 2012,
yeah.
8 years ago. you know, I thought it's about time it comes out. So, last year, after I got sick, I really felt like, I really felt like I had this urgency to put stuff out. anyway, so I decided yet to put this song on it because, you know, it was quite old. And then I needed some guitar to be redone. And so I asked Noel if he wanted to redo them. And so I think he recorded in January or something. So yeah, that's how it happened.
I've been through some hard, but I'm feeling so much better. And I'm standing in your yard, I could be there forever. And I know if you saw me now, you would be much perplexed. And I know if you saw me now, your mind would be contorted. But I love you.
Fantastic. And Terry Hall, I think you had his son Theodore in your band before, didn't you? And then Terry's come in and done some vocals as well.
Yeah, so I mean, basically my first album came out in 2005 on Honest Jones Records. Mm-hmm. And I remember, so at the time Terry was on the same label, and one night I was out at a gig somewhere. And I met him backstage, and I don't know, we started talking, and I said, oh, I'm on Honest Jones Records. And he said, oh, me too. And so, you know, then we kind of became friendly anyway. And he said, oh, I've got two sons, and I met them. And I became really good friends with his two sons. And then his son Theo joined my band. He was kind of 17 at the time, so very young, but very talented guitarist. And he stayed in the band for, you know, the whole time, 7 years, I guess. Yeah, so that's how we ended up doing this song. We actually recorded two, Daniel Johnston, but anyway, I'm putting one out now. Yeah.
Fantastic. And you said that, so on this EP, like you said, you would, because, you know, we follow the guys, and you were touring the last tour with the High Flying Birds. And then we just got this message that you would be leaving the tour. And, you know, and we didn't, it wasn't sort of, I know Noel made quite a funny joke at the time saying, you know, oh, if people want refunds for their tickets and things like that, which I thought was quite a funny joke at the time. But then we didn't know why. And then so it was only later that we found out that, you got sick, you got cancer.
That's right.
I see that one of the tracks EP is called MRI Song. And is this, a lot of this has been through those experiences?
That's right. So, I mean, that was terrible news because I found out on the 6th of May. And the 6th of May was the first date of the tour. Of the second tour, and the first gig was in Edinburgh, and I basically said to Noel, you know, cancer or not cancer, I'm coming to do this show. But it turned out I have cancer. So then I flew there, I did the show, and then I decided to do a few gigs up until the kind of operation. But I did miss kind of 13 shows, which I was really, really upset about. I think I was more upset about missing the show than I was about the cancer diagnostic.
Wow.
And because it's like, you know, it had never happened to me to go on a tour. And I actually do struggle to talk about it a bit. But to cut the long story short, I was lucky enough that, you know, the hospital let me, the treatment was postponed. I asked for, the treatment to be postponed so I could do the American tour. And then I told them again at the middle of the treatment, I said, you know, I really want to do this tour in Australia with you two. So they let me do that. So I went on tour, and then in November, then started the treatment again 3 days later. But anyway, this song MRI, I think it was the highlight of my experience, of my cancer experience, really, when I went into the MRI machine, and it was so intense, and I don't know, it just made me laugh. I was inside, and I was like, this is so crazy, and it sounds like a techno track. And then I decided, you know, to do something with it. So I uploaded some MRI sound on online. And then I asked my friend Shelley if she could add a beat. You know, I just wanted to do something. Originally, I wanted to do like a little techno track. It didn't really turn out like that. And then at the end, I just added the violin, you know, to give it a bit of a human dimension because it was kind of a bit cold. And, you know, so it turned out, I really like it. So at least something good came out of this experience, you know.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. Well, I do look forward to hearing it. And how are you doing? How are you doing health-wise? Are you okay?
Yeah, I mean, I'm fine. It's just, you know, it's a long recovery, I think, mentally. I'm definitely stronger than I was, but that's very much the reason why I wanted this record out, because obviously, I'd never experienced this before, but I think... first, the way I felt when it happened is that, you know, everybody went on tour and the tour carried on and I just felt like really heartbroken. So I just saw, you know, I just had this urgency to go back to my own music and really stuff. And I just felt like, you know, nobody can take that away from me ever, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
So, but also I think because I was talking to I'm good friend with Hope Sandoval of Mazzy Star and David, who sadly passed away last year, who had cancer as well. He had the same urgency when he was sick to really kind of read his music and produce music. So yeah, I think it's, you know, I think you want to feel like, I guess, that you really exist again. I don't know what it is, but somehow, yeah, I did have this kind of urgency and you know, to make music, you know, so yeah, but anyway, but I'm glad I did it's definitely helping, I think, with my recovery mentally to kind of have this out and, you know, is, you know, I've got something to look forward to. And all right, and then and then is the plan then, well, I suppose you'll wait and see what happens with these EPs, and then hopefully once things start up again, would you look to go back with the High Flying Birds? Yeah, I mean, you know, the future is so uncertain that you know, I don't know when we will be able to you know, play shows again. I don't really know about Noel's plan, you know, recording-wise, live-wise, you know, I don't know. But obviously, that would just be amazing to have this experience again. But I just don't know. Yeah.
Yeah. No, absolutely.
Yeah. It feels like, I guess it was upsetting for me because, It's like it was such a big thing, and then it was kind of, I felt like it was taken away from me a little bit.
No, it's so frustrating, I can imagine. I mean, taking it right back, I mean, you came over to England originally, in 1995? Would have been in like sort of the peak kind of mid-90s Britpop and Cool Britannia and sort of thing. Was that really the reason why you sort of were drawn over to the UK to be part of that scene?
No. basically, I went in 94 for a work experience. I was studying film production. I went to Glasgow to do a work experience, and I totally fell in love with Scottish people and the old culture there. I was really young in my head. I just thought Scotland, England, I don't know, I wasn't really making the difference at that time, you know. Mm. I just love people. I love the culture. I just felt like music was so much a bigger part of the culture than it was in France. And I just felt like people were more free. I just felt like I could be more myself. And I just had a sense of freedom. And I knew when I was there, I stayed six months, I think, or 3 months. When I was there, I kind of knew that was it. I mean, I wanted to go back. So in 95, I went to London. It wasn't for Britpop, but I did come to England because of music.
Right. Okay. And what did you think of that experience of being around? Was it more than the sort of more avant-garde and different styles of music that really drew you and what you were looking to? Because I see you recorded with Simon from the Cocteau Twins as well. That was one of the sort of first main things you did.
I mean, I was already in a band in France. And so when I arrived, I mean, really, I've always loved making music. But when I arrived in the UK, I started organizing little tours for French bands. And my idea really was to work for others. Like, I just wanted to, you know, be in the music business and kind of help other people. So my plan really was just to, be in the music business. And so when I was... I was just a music fan. So when I was organizing a little tour for French bands in 96, I met Keith Cullen of Setanta Records. It was the label of the Divine Comedy. Mm-hmm. And we had Edwin Collins as well. And I said to him, oh, you know, my dream is to work in a record label. And we were just having a drink. And I think in 5 minutes, literally, he said to me, come on Monday. And I was just over the moon that I thought I'd really arrive, if you know what I mean. And then in 97 I met Hope Sandoval of Mazzy Star, and I met Kevin of My Bloody Valentine. It's basically Keith Cullen introduced me to Kevin, and also introduced me to Simon Raymond. Right. Simon was looking for like a singer, and so that's how I ended up recording with him. And then he was managing Kevin at the time, and that's how I met Kevin. And basically, people, Kevin and Hope started saying to me, "Oh, you should really make a record. What you do is really good." So I don't know. I think because it came from them, I think that's when I started considering it. If you know what I mean, like. Mm. Before I made music, but I made music for love. Like, I never thought, oh, I'm gonna make a record one day. You know what I mean? Like, that wasn't my idea, you know. So, but when I met them and they said, oh, you should make a, Oops said, oh, you should make a record, you know, she loved it. So I was like, you know, then I thought, well, maybe, you know, maybe I could, you know.
the character. Have a bad,
such a bad
dream when we
Yeah, and then I got signed by Alan McGee. I played him two songs, you know, and he said, do you want a record deal? No, he said, do you want £10,000? And I was so shocked because, you know, I had like two songs or something and I really wasn't expecting it. So he said, do you want, you know, he loved it. He said, do you want £10,000? And I remember leaving the label and I was such on a high. And I remember, because yeah. I was just like, I mean, I just wasn't expecting it. Yeah. I wasn't expecting it. So that's how it all started, really. I mean, I didn't even have a band or anything. It kind of started by accident, really, I would say.
And so how do you tend to write? And because you famously, obviously, when Noel asked you to then join the band, having done the vocals on that one track, you know, and the line that he said was, you know, you said, oh, can you play the tambourine, maracas? No, I play the scissors.
The scissors was a masterstroke.
We're rehearsing the song with the French bit in for Jules Holland. So I'm saying to her, before the thing comes in, play a tambourine or something. And she did that dismissive thing that French women do. I will not play the tambourine. The shaker, I will not play no shaker. And she said, I play the scissors. Sorry for a second there, I thought you said scissors. Can you bring the scissors into rehearsals tomorrow then? And in she came, and when she took it, she's wearing a cape at the time. And when she started playing them, I leant into my bass player and I went, do you hear that sound? And he went, what, the scissors? I went, no, that's the sound of Liam glassing himself when he sees this.
So when you write music, do you play like piano or guitar or something like that, or do you just tend to write lyrics and then work with other people? How does that work?
So I do both, really. The first and second album, I was kind of still playing guitar. I haven't played guitar for a while, but at that time, basically the first album, when I got signed with Alan, I was looking for other people to work with. And the music, you know, I'd work with my flatmates, I'd work with a lovely guy called Ant. And even though I enjoyed the process and everything, I just felt like the music wasn't really the kind of music I wanted to make. And so I thought, okay, well, I've got to do it on my own, you know. So I picked up a guitar and I wrote a song. And that's the song Alan McGee signed me for. But I usually do collaborate, so I usually write lyrics, or I may so either, you know, someone might say, oh, I've got a little guitar part for you, and then I sing on it and then I produce the rest, you know. I will decide what I want on this kind of thing, or I may have an idea from, you know, like a sample. It can start from a sample and I can take that to someone and say, you know, I want to work with that. This new record, like the first song, 14 Years, was done, like I built it like a collage. I think because my background is more of a fine art background, so I don't really build song like I would say in a conventional way, like Noel or, you know,
sure,
real musicians. I think it's more like this track, I just built it like a kind of collage. Like I recycled a drum and then I took it to someone and then I took it to someone else and then I edit it out. I don't know. I don't know.
Well,
I don't really know. I mean, yeah.
Well, I was going to say that sort of, it's almost, you know, like the Brian Eno cards where they're, you know, that sort of, I think musicians are so often, musicians are so talented and so drilled into knowing how a song should be that you almost, it's good when sort of to knock someone out of their comfort zone. And like Graham Coxon from Blur said, you know, after they'd had all that success, he kind of had to forget how to play the guitar and sort of start again to just kind of start again. Now, I suppose if you always come in with that sort of, with that idea of just trying to do something different and just come at it from a different angle, you know, and I really enjoy your work I wasn't aware of you until you started working with Noel, and then went back in and listened to your stuff, and I think it's really, because I've been a fan of French music, so I like especially Serge Gainsbourg and Charlotte Gainsbourg, and Michel Polnareff is someone I came through, I think, because I really liked French band Air, and so from Air I then, okay, well, who did Air get influenced by? And so and Gainsbourg and Polnareff especially, and Francois Hardy and the 60s Le Musique I think they called it, like all the the French girls would get that sort of rock and roll influence. So I really love that, and so I can definitely hear that in your music, that sort of that old the chanson and the Serge is sort of interesting sounds and styles and mixing it all in, but then with that sort of, you know, with the British flavor as well, and that sort of a bit of Beck's in there, and it's a really lovely mix of all things I like. So I think your music's been a real joy to discover over the last couple of years.
Oh, thank you.
Playing your guitar.
I think for me, because I'm not a musician, you know, if you're not a musician, someone who is classically trained will have more difficulties, I think, probably writing than me, because I don't know what I'm doing. And it was the case very much from the first album. It's like, I don't have, you know what I mean? Like, in a way, that gives me freedom, because I just don't know. I just don't know what I'm doing. So I don't know other people. I guess someone like Noel, he knows how to write a good song. He knows the formula. He's, you know, it's like, I don't know. I don't know. So I just kind of like do it my own way. You know what I mean? Like, so that's why I couldn't even copy anyone, if you know what I mean, because I wouldn't know how to do it. So I guess it's very much a DIY, I guess. I don't know.
So I was just wanted to ask you about the process of joining Noel's band, and so when you were first approached to do the vocal at that point, did you know much about Oasis or Noel Gallagher's work when you were approached?
Well, obviously it's almost impossible not to know about Oasis, but I wasn't. Well, I did have one of his solo records on my iPod. And obviously I knew about Noel. I always thought he was a funny guy. But Oasis, I knew the Oasis song from hearing them on the radio. But I wouldn't say, I can't say I know their catalogue really well, if you know what I mean.
Sure.
Yeah.
And then so how were you approached then to come and do the original vocal on It's a Beautiful World? And then can you tell us about that?
So David Holmes, I've known David Holmes for quite a few years, and he always liked my music. He's a big fan of French music too. In December 2016, I remember he messaged me and he said, he was producing Noel's album, and he said, would you be up for coming to do maybe some vocals on Noel Gallagher album? So I was so surprised. So I was really excited. And then in April, 4 months later, he said, could you write something about the state of the world kind of thing? That the world is messed up or something like that. And first I wrote something and it was a bit too dark. And then I understood they wanted something a bit more lighthearted and kind of, so I did something a bit more lighthearted and then I recorded it at home and I emailed it to them and they really liked it. And then in July, Noel texted me saying, thank you for doing this. Thank you, for the part. Would you be up for coming to do it live? I think he had a show on the 1st of October. It was the first show. Mm-hmm. And he said, could you come and do this part live? So I said, sure. And then he said, could you play the tambourine up until, because the French part is at the middle of the song. So he said, could you play tambourine, up until the French spoken word happened. So first I said, oh, sure, no problem. And then as we were approaching the gig, I was getting more and more nervous about playing the tambourine. So I messaged him and I said, oh, I'm just, getting nervous about playing the tambourine. By the way, I play scissors. And I sent him a little video of a gig because I had been playing scissors for like 3 years or something with my friend Koshi, this project I was doing. And so I sent him a little video and he loved it. He said, oh, that's so cool. Mm. And then he said, well, why don't you bring your scissors to the rehearsal or something? And I think the day before the gig, we did Jules Zolan.
Yeah.
And for me, it was no big deal because I'd played so many shows playing the scissors and nobody,
No one's people, heard anything. Yeah.
Well, nobody, I think because it was a different audience, I don't know. People liked it, but it was just a thing. It was just a percussion. But somehow when I went on to Zolan, the world went crazy.
I did an episode about it called Noel's Cutting Edge New Direction, and it's one of my most downloaded episodes ever.
Oh, really?
Yeah, people were very excited to hear hear everyone talk about this scissors. But it was so exciting to see it on Jules. You think, wow. Firstly, you've got such a striking look as well with your hair, and you're wearing a cape, I think, and then you've got the scissors, and you think, is she on scissors? And it's sort of such a surprise. I thought, brilliant. That's what we love, because we come from a background in the UK of people of really interesting artists doing different things and challenging and being, that's what punk was, and that's what all these brilliant individuals that the that had been produced over the years. So I just thought it was fantastic. But it did. How was that being in part of that kind of all that at the time? Was it? That must have been quite a strange time.
Well, it was. I mean, because when we played the first gig, so we did Jerusalem. On the next day, we played. It was this Apple gig, the first show, and I came off stage, and then someone said to me, "They're all chanting scissors." And so I removed my earpiece, and I was like, "Oh my God, this is crazy! This is crazy!"
In Manchester, the night it aired on the Saturday night, and I was in the front seat of a car, and it stopped at the traffic lights, and the car got surrounded by a load of geezers just going, "Scissors, scissors," doing this, "scissors." The taxi driver's going, "What are they going on about, mate?" And I was like, "I really don't know." "Scissors."
And I think on the days I followed that, I think there were a show on the radio about you know, the scissors and all the artists that had used, you know, other percussion, like Gang of Four. I think I used the microwave, I can't remember.
Right.
And anyway, I just wasn't expecting it because I had been doing it for like 3 years. So yeah. I just wasn't expecting this reaction. And I remember poor Noel, who had to, every interview, had to talk about scissors. And so, you know, he may have regretted that, but, you know, so anyway, that's you know, it was but I think even though, like, at the beginning he was like, is that I think he wasn't sure, like he thought it was some kind of joke or something, I don't know. And I think he asked me, and I was like, well, no, it's a percussion, like,
like, you know, shaker, what I mean? I think, yeah
because people thought it was funny. But for me, it wasn't a joke. It was just another percussion. So, but yeah. Anyway, but I do like the kind of, I guess, I don't know. I do like the kind of humor. I mean, you know, it is. I mean, it wasn't meant to be funny, but I guess,
I mean, is there something about the sound? Like, because obviously there's with. Oh, is that the scissors there? Did I just?
Oh, no, that was my lighter.
Oh, okay, so I was like, brilliant, you bought the scissors. So is it because I mean, in all seriousness, like, you know, you have the like the, and then the, you know, there is something in that that is just an interesting sound. I mean, had you tried lots of different percussion instruments and then sort of come to scissors and thought, yeah, that just works for me.
No, I mean, basically, when I was playing shows with Koshi, we were playing acoustic. So, you know, he was playing an acoustic guitar, so you could really hear the sound. It was like a real percussion. No, I think we were with Koshi in my flat and looking around, looking for percussion. You know, we saw a pair of scissors on my desk. Oh, why not try that? And then, you know, but I mean, I'm sure it's been done before. I mean, I haven't, I don't think I've invented the scissors as such, if you know what I mean. I don't know, but I'm sure it's been done, you know, I'm sure someone would have used that before, maybe. But it had a different, you know, in Noel's band, even though, do you know what, live, I was actually quite surprised how loud sometimes they were, considering it was like a 10-piece band. But when I was playing little shows with Koshi, we could really hear because it was like one guitar, acoustic guitar. And so it really worked then.
I think I've seen that on YouTube. So you're stood right in the middle. You're stood like center stage with the scissors. You can hear it. You can hear it well. And as I say, I think it's a good percussion instrument. Yeah.
And yeah, it's a great sound.
And the Scissors even got their own Twitter account as well. I don't know if you saw that.
Did they? But
yeah, well, there was an account called @DemScissors, and it's still a mystery to this day whether or not it was someone within Noel's team that was running this account. We thought for a while it might have been Noel himself, or it might have just been someone pretend. Did you follow that at all? @DemScissors on Twitter?
No. Someone in the band, I think it was Jess, someone did tell me about this account. And they somehow did think maybe it was Noel, but I mean, I very much doubt it. I think he's got better thing to do than doing an account about Scissors. But I don't know who did that. I mean, I don't know. Yeah. Okay. I don't know.
Maybe tell me after that if you do know, really.
No. I mean, I really don't know. I really don't know. I mean, this account is probably closed now. I don't know. I mean, I just don't know who did it.
No worries. It pops up occasionally, and then it's written in that style that when Noel used to do his blog, it sounds very similar to Noel's old blog. And so it does. A lot of people did think it was Noel, and there would be pictures sort of backstage and things like that. And so you think, well, where are they getting these pictures from? You know, but I think, I don't know. Anyway, it's
I
not
don't
that
know.
Important.
I only saw a few pictures. I didn't quite follow it, but I did see 3-4 pictures of like, I don't know. I really have no idea who did that.
Fair enough. And how was it sort of being part of that? Like you said, you've got that huge group with sort of these amazing players and Mike Rowe. I think Mike's played on your new EP as well.
Mike, in August on tour 2019, he said, oh, I've got this little piano, you know, do you want it? So yeah, I listened to it and so I did, you know, I did that track with it that I really love. And we're actually doing another one. I'm covering for the second EP, I'm covering Alone on the Rope.
Wow.
Noel's track, and it's going to be really good, but I'm doing this with Mike again. So yeah.
Oh wow, that would be amazing. I'm really looking forward to hearing that.
Yeah. It's quite a different I basically totally changed the structure. So like the chorus is kind of at the beginning. I'm quite excited about this. But yeah, I mean, amazing to be, you know, Mike is such an amazing musician. I mean, all of them. Mm. I'm the only one that is not. And I guess, but it was very nice because when I joined the band, I guess nobody judged me or made me feel uncomfortable about, you know, not being able to play anything. Mm-hmm. I think on one track, I can't remember, it was on one, Mexican, what's it called?
The Mexican.
The Mexican. So I said to Noel, oh, can I play the cowbell on this? And he was like, well, good luck kind of thing. And I was so determined I would, you know, play the cowbell. And I basically, it was like an out of time, off beat. It was off beat. And and during the rehearsal, I really couldn't play the off beat at all. And then I remember, I didn't realize that it was so loud in everyone's mic. Russ was kind of looking at me, like giving me the eye, and I was like, why is he looking at me funny like this? And then Noel said, Charlotte, can you go on the couch over there to play the cowbell? Because I was kind of like, I just couldn't play the cowbell. And then somehow I practiced a lot, and then somehow I managed to do the upbeat, and everybody was like really teaching me and stuff. Oh, it was fantastic. Really nice. I mean, like, yeah, nobody made me feel, you know, uncomfortable from not, you know, not being like a musician in the classical sense.
Sure.
So that was really nice. Yeah.
Oh, that's great. And it seems like there's such a great atmosphere in that band, you know, both from the older guys that had been played with Noel before, like Mikey and Gem, through to and Chris Sharrock, obviously, and then through to like the yourself and Jess and Wisey, as we call her. Yeah, it seems like you've got a really nice little unit, the three of you, the three the three of you with Jess and Wisey?
Yeah, I mean, it's just what I liked. I mean, really, when we went on the tour in February 2018, when we went to America, we all got on so well. It was almost weird. It was like there were this kind of real magical vibe, because I guess maybe we were all so happy to be on this tour, and we just got on so well. You know, it was just really, it was kind of like, oh, you know, we meant to be together, kind of thing. And the girls, it's interesting because, you know, someone like Jess, you know, we make such different kind of music, and I would say in real life we would probably never meet.
Mm.
But you know, but we kind of, you know, we're joined by this experience. And do you know what I mean? It kind of like creates such strong bonds, because you on this, you know, you having this really strong experience and you sharing it together. And, you know, and we became friends. Do you know what I mean? Like all of us, you know, for having done this tour. So yeah, we really do get on really well.
That's brilliant.
I think Noel is very good at choosing, you know, I was really surprised. I was really surprised when I joined, like, I remember the first rehearsal I went to, you know, all the technicians were just so lovely. Mm. And I was like, wow. And I remember telling a friend of mine, a musician, and he said, you know, you know, he said, people, that's why they are where they are, you know, because they're so lovely. But I just couldn't believe how lovely was everyone. And I think Noel is just very good at like choosing people, and maybe from his past of having had arguments, you know, maybe he just now just want to have a nice time. You know what I mean? Like, so I think, it's a really lovely atmosphere.
No, definitely. Well, that's the impression that we get. And, you know, I saw I saw you guys on tour a couple of times in the last couple of years, and it was just such a great band. You know, that's the number one, I suppose, you're part of a band that's a really, really good band, you know, and it's just such, it must just be such an amazing feeling to be up there on the stage. You know, not only are you backing, you know, this legend of the music industry, but just the whole band always is given, each individual person is given their time to shine. And it's just, you know, it's a really, the you know, I think Noel, if he wanted to play to the crowd, he could do more big Oasis songs, and he could, you know, and do the songs like more like in the style that he did with Oasis, but he doesn't do that. He it really does feel like he tries to craft the show not to suit what the Oasis fans might want, but to suit the players on the stage, and really for him to make it the best show that he wants to put together with the group of you.
Yeah, I think that's right. I think he really managed to find a good kind of balance between, you know, pleasing himself and making the band, you know, part of it, and also you know, also pleasing the crowd, you know.
Sure.
So it was like a good, the set lists were always quite balanced, you know, to make, I guess, everyone happy. Yeah.
Mm. Wonderful. All right. Well, look, that's been really, really great to talk to you, Charlotte. Thank you so much for your time. And I'm really excited to hear the new music when it comes out, especially that cover of Alone with the Rope. Really excited to hear that.
Yeah, so that should be next year. I'm going to start working on it soon. So, my plan is to have the second EP out at the spring. So, yeah.
Wonderful. All right, brilliant. Well, thank you so much for your time. The one thing we always tend to end on, because I like to drop in little clips throughout the interview, but we always end with a particular choice of the guest, whether it's an Oasis song or a Noel solo song. Is there a song that particularly stands out or means a lot to you?
Well, it's got to be Alone on the Rope.
Yeah?
Because, that's my favourite song of Noel.
Wonderful. Yes. Wonderful. All right. Well, Charlotte, thank you so much for your time, and we'll look forward to speaking
thank
to you
you
again soon.
Thanks a lot.
So I hope you guys enjoyed that episode. Real pleasure to speak to Charlotte. What a fascinating character she is. Crazy. McGee, like, who didn't he sign? Amazing. McGee signed her, like, 20 years ago. Just crazy. And then, like, you know, she had no clue that it was just completely random that Noel then worked for the, like, 18 years after then. It's just ridiculous, really. But there you go. Yeah, really, what a pleasure it was speaking to her. And, yeah, make sure you check out her EP. Very interesting music, especially that that track she does with Noel. I really like that. And the original version by this guy, Daniel Johnston's really good as well. I'm going to have to dig into a bit more of his stuff. I think he died last year. But, yeah, really interesting. So before we call it a day today, I just want to say another massive thank you to Your Teams Prints for sponsoring the episode today. Really appreciate the support. And if you guys can go and support them by following them on Twitter at Your Teams Prints, that's YourTeamsPrints, that would be fantastic. And if you want the opportunity to win the print of your choice from their store, then what you have to do is this. Are you sitting comfortably? Right. You have to follow both at Oasis Podcast, that's me, and at Your Teams Prints on Twitter. And you also then have to do a public tweet at them with the code word, which is scissors. So you can do scissors or you can do the scissors emoji. That's fine. And if you do that, you will be in the draw for the print of your choice. And yeah, it should be very exciting. If you're not on Twitter, then if you want to drop me an email, oasispod@gmail.com, that's fine. You'll be in the draw as well. But yes, you have to drop the scissors emoji or the word scissors and then you're in. All right. So thank you again, Your Teams Prints. Much appreciated. And anyone else out there that's a creator or has a business, if you'd like to also be a sponsor of the podcast, do get in touch. Right. So thank you very much to our patrons. You put your money where your mouth is every month, and it is massively appreciated. You can become a patron at patreon.com/oasispod, which is where we post additional episodes and other bonus stuff every now and then. Do please follow on the social medias, Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. I am at Oasis Podcast, although I'm Oasis Pod on Instagram. Do email me, oasispod@gmail.com, for any feedback on the shows or any ideas for guests or anything like that. Always great to hear from you. And if you can, please review on iTunes. I always really appreciate getting those in. That's really helpful. It's really good to be up the iTunes chart. So, yeah, if you can do that, that would be brilliant. Oh, and just finally, I am in the process of starting a new podcast, which is called Trainspotting Minute. I don't know if you've heard before these podcasts that analyze films on a minute-by-minute basis. I really like them. You know me, I'm super geeky and love to get in-depth on the stuff I'm interested in. And yeah, there's podcasts that do that on Star Wars and Goodfellas and Marvel movies and stuff like that. Trainspotting is one of my favourite films, and it's so interesting. There's so much to delve into, and the music and all the actors and the way it looks. Yeah, and so I'm really excited to be going through that. I'm going to start recording that in the next few weeks. So if you would like to be involved in that, especially if you've got any knowledge of like Edinburgh and Leith and anyone that was involved in the making of Trainspotting, then do get in touch, because I think that's going to be a really, really cool thing. All right, I think that'll do it for today. Thanks very much for listening. Do make sure you're checking out at Your Teams Prints on Twitter, as we said. And as ever, stay in touch, stay engaged, and stay young.